over the past few probably years, actually, certainly over this past year, I've been spending time, and Sally, just researching the whole idea of Sabbath. It's come up in books I've read. It's a subject in podcasts that I listen to. And it's something I'm interested in. What is Sabbath? Why is it important? And how do we Sabbath? And so over this last summer, Sally and I have been talking about it in a bit more depth, listening to certain speakers on it. We made the decision to intentionally do something about it this year. So we came back from our summer holiday. We've been chatting about it and put it into place. And what it looks like for us is that at this stage in our lives, Saturday seems to work as a day that we can stop, rest, seek God, and just be quiet at times. And in order for us to do that, we had to change some things, some patterns, some rhythms in our life. Because the rhythm was this. We work Monday to Friday. Saturday was just doing everything that we do on a Saturday. Washing, cleaning. I don't do any ironing. We have an ironing board, but it rarely gets used. You know, all the chores that we do, shopping, gardening. And then we do Sunday, and then we're back to work on Monday. So how we did it, and I'll talk about this a bit more next time, but how we did it in our journey is that we move things around. So we would do those kind of chores during the week and just changed our rhythm, changed our pattern so that we could actually stop on a Saturday. It's not always, it's not like a hard and set rule, but most Saturdays we will stop. So like yesterday, we took Flavius back to his house. He's going to do his third year at Cardiff Uni. And but on the way back, we stopped at Porthcawl and we sat on the beach and we relaxed and we talked and we read and things like that. So that's what it looks like to us. But I thought it'd be good today to talk about that journey and some understanding that I've gained and gathered over these last months. So what is Sabbath? Well, we first are introduced to Sabbath right at the beginning of the book, Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And it says this, "On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation." And so that word, the Hebrew word is Shabbat, which means to rest. It means to stop. It means to rest from labor, from work. And this is, God introduces this idea of resting, a day of rest, right at the beginning of time on earth. And it's interesting, I find it interesting, that this was in the Garden of Eden. It was before the fall. And so we see from that the Sabbath was made for mankind as a day of rest, as a refreshment for the body, and as a blessing to our souls. It's really important. The next time we read about the Sabbath in Scripture is in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23. And it says this, he told them, this is Moses, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow." So this is right in the time when the Israelites have left Egypt. They've gone through and crossed that sea, and now they're in the wilderness, and God is providing for them daily manna. And Moses says to them, look, prepare all your food the day before, and it'll be all right tomorrow. Because if you remember the story, the day, the manna was only suitable for that one day. They had to destroy it, and the next day they would have fresh manna. But on this, Moses is saying, actually, prepare your food today, because tomorrow is a day of rest. And it means that it should be dedicated to the Lord with no distractions. And I ask myself this question, and maybe I ask it to you today. What distractions do we have that stop us from resting? What distractions do we have that stop us from stopping and focusing on God? Think about that. Because you see, for me, on this journey of understanding what Sabbath is, it's clear that Sabbath is important. It's clear, if you look at Scripture, that it's central. It's, you know, the next Scripture we're going to read is Exodus 20, and that's the part of the commandments, part of the Ten Commandments is to remember the Sabbath. And so this journey of Sabbath in Scripture becomes more and more significant in their lives and in our lives as followers of Jesus. Because the next mention is Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, where we read about Moses receiving those Ten Commandments. And verse 8 says this of chapter 20. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. So it's part of a commandment in Scripture for us. And quite often, this is the Scripture that is quoted for Sabbath. And the go-to Scripture to explain what Sabbath is. But as we can see, as I've shown us in Genesis 2 and Exodus 16, there was already a rhythm of Sabbathing in their lives before the commandment came in that time. There was already a rhythm. And that's how I like to see Sabbath, as a rhythm. You know, I've grown up in the church, and I remember that Sunday was a holy day. We weren't allowed to do anything on a Sunday. Shops were shut at that time, weren't they, most of them? You weren't allowed to go shopping. You weren't allowed to do anything on that day. And I see that and understand that, and I get how we got to that place. But as you look at the history of Sabbath in Scripture, we can see that it went from a weekly rhythm in people's lives, something that people did, to a commandment. And then it seems that after the commandment, it became a bit of a religious thing. It became something that you had to do. It became a strict regulation. It became a law. And I don't know, maybe I rebel against that. I'm not a rebellious person, but I do rebel against religiosity and religion, and how religion can constrict us and limit us. And if you look at the history of Sabbath in Scripture, we see that that's what happened. Because further on in Exodus and Leviticus, we see how Sabbath became part of that Mosaic law and moved from a rhythm of life into a strict regulation, into a law. And if you know the history of the Old Testament, people, the Israelites, the people of God, could not keep those laws. And that's why Jesus came and he died for us and set us free and became that atonement for all the sins in our lives. Things like, if you look at scriptures like Exodus 35, verses 2 to 3, says this: you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day must be put to death. This is as far we've got with this law. You must not even light a fire in any of your homes on the Sabbath. Leviticus 23, verse 3 says, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath, a day of complete rest, an official day for holy assembly. It is the Lord's Sabbath day, and it must be observed wherever you go. And then in verse 34 of chapter 26 of Leviticus, then at last the land will enjoy its neglected Sabbath years as it lies desolate while you are in exile in the land of your enemies. Then the land will finally rest and enjoy the Sabbaths it missed. So you can already see that people and the land and people are neglecting the Sabbath. A lesson for us all, actually, I think, and a lesson for me, that sometimes we have things that are rhythms in our lives, things that we enjoy, but then they tip over into religion, to law things, they tip over into these kind of strict regulations, and then they become limiting. And that's not what I think Sabbath should be like. It should be a time where we stop, where we rest, where we focus in on God and give thanks to him for all that he's done for us and provided for us. And he speaks to us and we hear his voice. If you want some other verses just to back up what I'm saying about this decline of the Sabbath, then there's Isaiah 56, verse 2, where it says, blessed are all those who are careful to do this. Blessed are those who honor my Sabbath days of rest and keep themselves from doing wrong. Isaiah 56, verse 4 says, for this is what the Lord says, I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me. And then verse 6 and 7 of the same chapter says, I will also bless the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord, who serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest, and who hold fast to my covenant. I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and their sacrifices, because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And then maybe you can look at these later, but Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 20 to 23, and Nehemiah 13, verse 19. And those verses just show you how far away from the original idea of Sabbathing people have got. People were doing things on the Sabbath. They weren't keeping the Sabbath anymore. And so then Jesus turns up in the New Testament, and he starts to talk about the Sabbath in his teachings. He starts to help us understand. He starts to turn around. He starts to bring back the value, bring back the, almost like he redeems the Sabbath. And he teaches and he demonstrates its true purpose. He demonstrates its true rhythm of life. Jesus remembered the Sabbath. He talked about the Sabbath. If you look in some of the stories, there was the stories, wasn't there, where the Pharisees condemned him for healing on the Sabbath. And so Jesus, as usual, breaks in and changes things and challenges the norm, challenges the religion of the day. He brings back, I see as I read scripture, that rhythm of life of Sabbathing, by challenging the traditions that had been created over the years. Here's some of the verses that might be helpful for us to understand. Matthew 12, verses 9 to 13, we read this. Then Jesus went over to their synagogue, where he noticed the man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees asked Jesus, does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? They were hoping he would say yes so they could bring charges against him. And he answered, Jesus in his normal fashion answered, if you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored. Just like the other one. Mark 2, verses 27. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." Jesus turns it back round, doesn't he? Goes right back to Genesis where we see, and I said, that the Sabbath was made for us, for mankind, for people, as a day of rest. And Jesus brings it right back to say that the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. Luke 13, verses 10 to 17. Again, Jesus heals on the Sabbath day and challenges as the leaders of the day. Talks about them being hypocrites again. Have a look at them when you get home. 13, verses 10 to 7 of Luke. F.W. Robertson, he was born in 1816, says this about the Sabbath. "The Sabbath, originally instituted for man at his creation, is of permanent and universal obligation. The physical necessities of man require a Sabbath of rest. He is so constituted that his bodily welfare needs at least one day in seven for rest from ordinary labor. Experience also proves that the moral and spiritual necessities of men also demand a Sabbath of rest. I am more and more sure by experience that the reason for the observance of the Sabbath lies deep in the everlasting necessities of human nature. And that as long as man is man, the blessedness of keeping it, not as a day of rest only, but as a day of spiritual rest, will never be annulled. I certainly do feel by experience the eternal obligation because of the eternal necessity of the Sabbath. The soul withers without it. It thrives in proportion to its observance. The Sabbath was made for man. God made it for men in a certain spiritual state because they needed it. The need, therefore, is deeply hidden in human nature. He who can dispense with it must be holy and spiritual indeed. And he who's still unholy and unspiritual would yet dispense with it is a man that would feign to be wiser than his maker." Words from the 19th century. Please forgive me for the language. Quite often the language was in that masculine tone. But you understand that it applies to all of us. The need for Sabbath. I don't know about you, but if I was to ask each and every one of us here, do you stop and rest and seek God? I'm not sure if many hands will go up. Is this something that we have neglected? Yes, it is. And it's something I think I want to challenge myself with and challenge all with. Because you see, what I found in, and what Sally and I have found in this, we're very new in this journey of Sabbathing, that it actually restores some energy into our rhythm of life. And actually, strangely enough, we get more done by having a day of rest. And if you look at some studies about that, that is actually quite true about not necessarily a Sabbath day. If you look at some of the Scandinavian studies on their working week, they do four-day weeks, and they actually get more work done in those 4 days than they were getting in their 5 days or their 6 days. So that is what Sabbath is. I thought I'd do a little study on what Sabbath is, but I'm asking the question now then is why Sabbath? Why do we need a Sabbath day? Why Sabbath? There are many reasons we could and we should remember the Sabbath day, but I'm going to look at four today. First of all, God did. That's a good reason, isn't it? We have already seen in Genesis 2 that God rested on the seventh day. He set an example for all creation, the importance of resting. If you probably think about it, he probably didn't need to rest because he's God, but he did as a demonstration to us right at the outset, the importance and necessity of Sabbath. Secondly, second reason why we should Sabbath is that Jesus did it. Read the Gospels. And it's clear that Jesus remembered and rested on the Sabbath. I don't know about you. Sometimes I've read the Gospels, and I think these people just walked around all day long doing nothing, worshiping Jesus and that. But it wasn't like that. They worked probably harder than we worked, but yet they still find time to Sabbath, to rest, to pray. And Jesus did it. I believe Jesus would have been a very busy person, and we see that he remembered this Sabbath. It was part of his narrative. It was his rhythm of life. And as apprentices and followers of Jesus, we should follow his example. We're reminded in this in the letter 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, where it simply says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So God did it. Jesus did it. Third reason is your body needs it. We've read that in Scripture. I can guarantee that there are some of us saying today, maybe to ourselves or saying to me, I'm too busy to take a day of rest. Well, then that probably proves another reason why we should take a day of rest. We're proving the point that we need a day of Sabbath. Now, I'm going to talk next time about some practical ways, because some of us will not be able to take a whole day off to Sabbath. So it might look something different for you. Maybe it's an evening and a morning. Or maybe we start with just a couple of hours, or we start with half a day. That sort of thing. We start differently. So I understand that we all have busy lives. We have families. We have things. I couldn't have done a Saturday when we had the children at home. So for us, this stage of life, Saturday works for us. Some people might find that Sunday is the best day. You come and you focus in on a Sunday for service, and then the rest of the day you can rest and you can continue in that place of rest. You think about that and have a look at that and how your life works with that. I'll bring some ideas next time. But the third thing is that your body needs it, and it's, if you look at any studies will say that your body needs to rest. Obviously, we sleep every night, but we need to take more than just sleep. We need to rest. We need to stop. We need to pause. You know, since we've made that intention, that positive decision to Sabbath, I've actually achieved more in that time than I did before. I have more energy. And this is why our bodies need it, to stop, to pause. And fourthly, your soul needs it. Do you want more peace in your life? Have you lost your joy? Are you struggling with your faith? Do you feel distant from God? I believe that if we remember the Sabbath, you'll find that peace. Making Sabbath part of your rhythm, your weekly rhythm of life, introduces peace into your life as you stop, as you rest, as you pause, as you focus in on God. It brings peace. Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14 says this about the Sabbath and about joy. Isaiah 58, 13 says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. You see, when we keep that Sabbath, we remember the Sabbath, it brings great delight. It brings restoration for our soul. It returns a weekly, returns our focus on God. And it's really important to understand that as it says in Isaiah 58, the Sabbath day isn't for our own interests. It's a time where we stop and pause, which is good for us, good for our body, good for our soul, but the focus is always God. And that's important, and that's a journey that I'm on at the moment, making sure that's how these Sabbath days are working. But it returns our focus to God, a reset each week to take delight in him and restore our joy. You know, we often say we are not what we do. And this is a lesson I have learnt. Quite often we put our whole identity into the things that we do. I know I did. My whole identity was tied up in the things that I did, my job, my role, my position, that sort of thing, in my work. And that was where I found my identity. But when we read about the Sabbath, it helps us to understand that when we stop completely, we learn that our identity is actually in God. It's in Jesus. It's not in what we do. And stopping what we do in order to focus back on God brings that reset. You see, we're not defined by our achievements. We're not defined by our failures or by what we do. And so Sabbath restores our faith in God and teaches us to trust him more, helps us with that struggle. Let me finish with these words of Eugene Peterson. Sabbath is that uncluttered time and space in which we can distance ourselves from our own activities enough to see what God is doing. Say that again. Sabbath is that uncluttered time. You were talking about new spaces, Kate, weren't you? New places, new positions. Maybe one of those new spaces is time to stop, to pause. And out of that, we will see so much more. We will see so much more and hear so much more. Sabbath, Eugene Peterson, the writer of the Message Bible. He says, Sabbath is that uncluttered time and space in which we can distance ourselves from our own activities enough to see what God is doing. So next time, I think it might be next week, next time we are going to talk about practical ways of Sabbathing, of remembering the Sabbath. But as we close today, maybe we could just stop, close our eyes, pause, reflect on some of the things that I've said today, to pray. Let's do that now.